Take your Bibles, if you would, please, and turn to Exodus chapter number 35. Break from our series here this morning. We've been doing Exodus chapter number 35. We're going to look at a variety of building programs, and I want to just tell you up front, as we look at them, you're saying, well, you're mixing a bunch of different building programs, and I understand that. One is talking about the tabernacle, which was movable. They picked it up and packed it up each time and moved it with them. One is referring to the temple, Solomon's temple that was built. Another one would be referring to Zerubbabel's temple, as it's commonly known, or a remodeling of that even, as Haggai will refer to kind of fixing that up. So we'll look at a variety of those things. Some of the offerings that were taken even before the temple was built. Some of them, we'll look at a passage of scripture in which David collected quite a large sum of offerings in preparation for the building of the temple that Solomon would build, but David was dead and gone before that temple came into fruition. And so we're looking at all those stories this morning, really to draw some consistent principles that we see. In addition to that, we're also going to look at a little bit the building of the wall around Jerusalem for the people of God in the protection there in the story of Nehemiah. But all of it will bring out the same truths that I'd like for us to see, and they're very, very simple this morning, all right? So there's nothing complicated about what we're going to say. I've just simply titled the message, The Building of a Building. Now, whether it's a like a temple or a temporary building like the tabernacle or a wall around the city of Jerusalem, what were some things that were common to God's people that were important, I believe, as we look at what God wants us to do this morning? And here's a simple thought I'd like for you to see this morning. As we approach giving, we must approach giving with the right attitude. And it's really what we're going to see throughout these passages of Scripture. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, what a privilege it is to give to you, because ultimately everything that we have comes from you. We're just giving back a portion of that which you've given to us. You've so abundantly blessed us. And Lord, from these passages this morning, may we draw some very, very simple principles that will help us to see how we're to give. And not only just giving of our money that we're talking about this morning, but in the future, giving of other things as well. These people did so with a willing heart. And we pray that you'll teach us some things from your word this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. We're going to read this morning some lengthy passages of Scripture. And when we get to Exodus chapter number 35, we find the opening of where Moses is beginning to collect the materials that will be needed to build the wilderness tabernacle. And again, this tabernacle would be something that could be packed into boxes and carried on the shoulders of the Levites as they moved from location to location. So sometimes we may think, well, that's just a little tent. This was a massive undertaking. It was a huge temple. And in our economy today, some believe millions of dollars of gold and silver just in eyelets and different things that they would have used to hold the ropes and some of these kind of things. Really was quite a fascinating thing here. Let's look at Exodus chapter 35 and verse 4 just to kind of get our context, and we'll read a little bit here. It says, "And Moses spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, This is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring in an offering of the Lord, gold and silver and brass and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair." We don't want to count any of that this morning, all right? That was just what they were given back then. I don't think the deacons want to count goat's hair. But anyway, and ram skins dyed red and badger skins and shittim wood and oil for light and spices for anointing oil and for sweet incense and onyx stones and stones to be set for the ephod and for the breastplate. And every wise-hearted among you shall come and make all that the Lord hath commanded, the tabernacle, his tent and his covering, his tetches and his boards and his bars, his pillars and his sockets, the ark and the staves thereof with the mercy seat and the veil of the covering, the table and his staves and all his vessels and the showbread and the candlestick also for the light and his furniture and his lamps with the oil for the light and the incense altar and his staves and the anointing oil and the sweet incense, and you get the idea. In other words, he's saying, not only are we going to collect for the actual building, but we're going to collect for every bit of the furnishings and even some of the necessary things to make the temple function day by day. Oil for burning and those kind of things. And it's interesting when you look at this passage of Scripture, as we look back, if you would, to verse 5. It says, take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord, whosoever is of a, what's the next word? Willing heart. Look at verses 21 and 22 of this same passage. And they came everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made, what's the next word? Willing. And they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and for all his service, and for the holy garments. And they came both men and women, as many as were. You're getting weaker. You don't know if I want you to say it or not, right? What's the next word there? Willing-hearted, and brought bracelets and earrings and golds and tablets and all jewels of gold. And every man that offered an offering, offered an offering of gold unto the Lord. And let's turn to some other passage of scriptures here. First Chronicles, if you would please. First Chronicles, chapter number 29. First Chronicles, chapter number 29. Verse 6. Then the chief of the fathers and princes of the tribes of Israel and the captains of thousands and of hundreds with the rulers of the king's work offered, what's the next word?
Willingly.
And gave for the service of the house of God of gold 5,000 talents and 10,000 drams, and of silver 10,000 talents, and of brass 18,000 talents, and 100,000 talents of iron. This was a huge offering in the First Chronicles here. This passage is referring to the Solomon's temple that was going to be built. Verse 8, and they with whom precious stones were found gave them to the treasure of the house of the Lord by the hand of Jethro the Gershonite. Then the people rejoiced for that they had offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord, and David the king also rejoiced with great joy. Look at Ezra. Look at the book of Ezra. Chapter 2, please. Ezra, chapter 2, verse 68. And some of the chief of the fathers, when they came to the house of the Lord, which was at Jerusalem, offered freely for the house of God to set it up in his place. They gave after their ability unto the treasure of the work 71,000 drams of gold and 5,000 pounds of silver. You just start calculating that out in your mind. And 100 priest garments. Last passage here. For now, and then we'll get to more in just a little bit, all right? 2 Corinthians. Now, in 2 Corinthians, he is specifically referring to the people giving in this context to other needs to help the gospel go out. We commonly use this passage of Scripture for faith promise missions, which is absolutely appropriate that way. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. How then in a great trial of affliction and the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. The world says today those things can't go together. How can someone have deep poverty and they're given joyfully? But God says that's what happened. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. They gave more than they had. God provided for them supernaturally. Praying as with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowshipping of the ministering to the saints. This they did not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. So first this morning, I'd like us to look at the attitude of the people. The attitude of the people. What do you think letter A is? They were willing. They were willing. That's really important for us to understand. No one this morning is going to twist your arm. Now, there are some people out there who would knock on your door and say, by the way, this is your portion of the church building. Give it or else type of thing. You know, that's what's going to happen this morning. You're going to willingly give. For some of you, you're going to think, well, what I'm putting in the offering is, it's not going to matter at all. Do you know, people had that attitude when Jesus stood by the treasury and people were given too. And a widow dropped in what? Two mites. And Jesus said she's given more than anybody here. The dollar amount really doesn't matter. You say, well, Pastor, what if we don't reach our goal? You know what? That's up to the Lord. That's totally up to Him. He's going to give us exactly what we need this morning. He's going to give us what we need. You say, well, have you been thinking about it? Well, sure. I've been thinking about it. I've been praying about it. But God's going to give us exactly what we need. If you prayed and did your part, then God's going to give us exactly what we need. Now, if you didn't pray and you didn't do your part, well, then you're going to have to give an account to God, right? I'm not going to give an account to you. I'm going to give an account to me. My family is going to give this morning. They willingly gave. What a wonderful blessing that is. But not only did they willingly give, let's go back to the book of Exodus, and we'll go through some of these stories again. Hope you'll bear with me this morning as we do a lot of turning. Yeah. Exodus chapter 35 and verse 25. Exodus chapter 35 and verse 25. The Bible says, "And all the women that were wise-hearted did spin with their hands and brought that which they had spun, both of blue and of purple and of scarlet and of fine linen. And all the women whose heart stirred them up in wisdom spun goat's hair." All right, so you're seeing these women had the ability to make something that the temple needed, or in this case, the tabernacle needed, and they gave what they could. They knew how to make these things. If you had me start spinning something, probably wouldn't be very useful. I'm not even sure I could get it. I've seen some of those wheels turning and people doing stuff, and I'm like, wow, I don't know how they get thread out of that, but they do. These women used what they had. Look at verses 30 and through 35 of this same chapter. "And Moses said unto the children of Israel, See, the Lord hath called by name Bezili, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and he hath filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and understanding and in knowledge and all manner of workmanship, and to devise curious works to work in gold and in silver and in brass and in the cutting of stones to set them and in carving of wood to make any manner of cunning work. And he hath put in his heart that he may teach both Aholiab, the son of Eshemach of the tribe of Dan. Them hath he filled with wisdom of heart to work all manner of work of the engraver and of the cunning workman and of the embroiderer in blue and purple and scarlet and in fine linen and of the weaver, even of them that do any work and of those that devise cunning work." In other words, God said, I put in people's hearts to be able to accomplish that which other people have no idea what they're doing. I'm grateful we have those kind of people here. I'm thankful for all the work that Brother Bob's put into this building. I was telling some of my pastor friends this week, I said, he's answering questions I didn't know I needed to ask the question. It's like, wow, oh, yeah, sure, that's a good question to ask there. I didn't have a clue that I was even supposed to ask it. But God knew that, and He raises up people with particular talents. This particular man was incredible. He could do all kinds of carvings and workings and so forth. And the temple, the tabernacle, needed those kind of men, and God raised them up to work. Look at Nehemiah, if you would, please. Nehemiah, chapter number 2. Nehemiah, chapter number 2. And again, this is the building of the wall, not necessarily a temple. Nehemiah 2 and verse 18. It says, "Then I told them of the hand of my God which was good upon me, and as also the king's words which he has spoken unto me." So Nehemiah tells them all that God had done to this point. He told them what he had experienced when they came to him in Jerusalem and said, the city's broken down and without walls. How he prayed and how he stood before the king, and the king says, what do you want? And he said, well, I'd like to go there. And he said, so he set me a time. I set him a time and he let me go. And not only that, but he gave me protection over the river. And not only that, but he provided for me out of the king's forest, all that God's doing. He tells them that. And Nehemiah says, that's why I'm here. And then the people said, and they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. Look at chapter 4 and verse 6. Chapter 4 and verse 6. It says, so built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. The people had a mind to work. Look at verse 17. They which builded on the wall, and they that bear burdens with those laded, every one of them of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. So this is interesting to me as I was reviewing this. Some knew how to build, and some just bore burdens. In other words, some people didn't need a hammer in their hand. They just needed a wheelbarrow to carry the trash out of the way as the skilled workers were doing that. Now, some of you may be thinking, well, I don't know what I'm doing. You probably don't want a hammer in my hand. We definitely don't want a hammer in Michael Scott's hand. I'm just saying. But there's some people we certainly don't want hammers in, but you can bear some burdens. And the people had a mind to work. Look at chapter 6 and verse 15. Chapter 6 and verse 15. So the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month Elul in 52 days. What the people could not do beforehand in 50 plus years, they accomplished in 52 days. I'm not going to take the time to read it this morning, but it is a fascinating read to look at the people. They actually list the people's names. This family worked here. They worked from the fish gate to this gate. And then beside them, this family worked. And they worked from the fish gate to this gate. And this family worked. And this family worked. And this family worked. And this family worked. And they built the wall. And at one point, as it said in that verse there, at one point they had a trowel in one hand and a sword in the other. Aren't you glad we don't have to build that way? That's kind of unusual, right? Haggai, if you would please. We're not there yet in our Minor Prophet series, but we'll be there real soon. Haggai chapter 1 and verse 2. Haggai chapter 1 and verse 2. By the way, if you don't like all the turning in the Bible, you can blame my wife. She said, we don't have time to get to all these verses sometimes, so I'm waiting on you to get there so you can get her afterwards. I'm kidding. Haggai chapter 1 and verse 2. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, the people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lieth waste? God says, wait a minute, you're spending time on your own houses, but you don't have time to give to God's house. Is that what's supposed to happen? He says, now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put into a bag with holes. God said, you're not making a priority for me in your giving, and therefore you're just spinning your wheels. You're putting money in pockets with holes. Nothing's really working. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain, bring wood, build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. God says, make it a point to sacrifice for my house, and I will bless you abundantly. I know that for some of you, what you're going to put in this offering this morning is going to really hurt. You're genuinely sacrificing. And I'm excited. I'm almost excited to see on the back end what God's going to do as he's done on the front end to provide it for you. Several of the men, two different conversations this week. two different churches. I had never heard of this before, but two different men, two different churches said that once a year their church does what they call a paycheck Sunday. And they ask their families to give their entire paycheck for that week in the offering as an extra sacrifice offering. And it was neat to hear the stories from these men. The one was a layman who was there working, and he said the first time they came to it, he looked at his wife and said, "We don't have groceries for this week. We can't give our paycheck. We need that paycheck." And she said, "Well, just depends on how much faith you want to have." He said, "Boy, don't you love wives that way, you know?" He said, "So that week we put our paycheck in." And he said, "It was so cool to see God just abundantly bless that week." One other, again, totally different story. Someone did that, and he said, "I couldn't believe it, but that Sunday night, a person, they were in a large military town, and a guy said, 'We just bought a month worth of groceries, and I got orders to ship out, I think it was tomorrow.' And he said, 'We don't know what to do with these groceries, so here you go.'" And he said, God said, "Hey, I'm going to take care of you." Now, I'm not telling you to give your paycheck this morning. I'm just saying that when people are willing and have a working attitude, what a blessing that is. And he was saying to them, "Hey, look, you need to make it a priority. God's house needs to be a priority." So the attitude of people, number one, they need to be willing. Number two, they need to be working. They need to be working. We're going to have opportunities. Matter of fact, Brother Bob and I will approach some of you men about a task on Tuesday that if you can help us with, I think we're going to save several thousand dollars by helping unload some things ourselves. We could tell you stories already about the men who are working on this job site and the thousands of dollars that they're saving us because of the ministry. They want to do it for what God wants to do, and it's been a wonderful blessing. So the attitude of the people, willing and working, we're going to need that. Number two, the aim of the project. What were they trying to accomplish? Well, in each case, other than the building of the wall, they needed three things. One, they needed a place of worship. They needed a place of worship. Now you say, "Well, wait a minute, Pastor. That building we're building is not a place of worship." Well, define worship for me. Is worship only when we get together as a church body here? Or when the gospel is shared in that building on Wednesday night with our Master's Club kids, is that not worship? When we gather in there for a meal, or when a Sunday school class meets in there and opens the Word of God, or when we have a basketball tournament to share the gospel with someone, or whatever God gives us the opportunity to do, is all that not worship? Now, we think of worship as coming in here and formally doing that, but worship is anything that we do for God. That building's certainly going to be used for that. So it was a place of worship. Number two, it was a place for pleasant sounds. When you look at the, turn back to Exodus 35. Let's read a little bit of this because that'll be really interesting to you. Exodus chapter 35, and we'll stay here. We're done turning for this morning. All of these things happening, the candlesticks, the furniture, the incense for the altar, the anointing oil, the sweet incense, the offering of offerings, and the brazen grates, verse 16, and the vessels, and the hangings of the courts, and all of these things, the priest garments, and all of that. Look at verse 19, and the cloths of service to do service in the holy place, the holy garments for Aaron and the priests, and the garments of his sons to minister in the priest offering. All of these things were happening. It was a sound of worship to the Jews as they sacrificed, as the priests moved around, as the incense was burning, and as this was happening, as that was happening. And we don't take the time this morning, but if you looked at the extensive musical program that these priests instituted there under David when the actual temple was built, not through David directly, but through some of the divisions that he did with Asaph and so forth. That was amazing. And then letter C was the priest's garments. We've already talked a little bit about that. So the aim of the project was to give them a place of worship, that they would have pleasant surroundings, everything going on, and the sounds that were happening in the temple. And it would be an environment in which they could worship God, an environment in which he said, it needs to be this way specifically. And then there was the priest's garments that were to be used there. And of course, all those were very, very specific as well. But I want us to see number three this morning, the amazing proclamation. Look at chapter 36 and verse 5. Exodus 36 in verse 5. And they spake unto Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make. And Moses gave commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing. Did you get that word? Restrained from bringing, for the stuff they had was sufficient for all the work to make it, and too much. Wow. So in other words, you're going, whoa, wait a minute, time out. You can't bring any more of that. But I got two sacks of gold here. I'm sorry, we can't use it. You know. But wait a minute. I wove this type of, I'm sorry, we can't use it. We're done. But I've got two buckets of oil here for lights. We can't take it. We don't have anywhere to store it. You say, Pastor, is that going to happen this morning? Well, it could, but I wouldn't count on it. All right? But isn't it neat when the people get a mind to work and a willing attitude that they had to say, wait a minute, we're done. Even this week as we were talking to other pastors, some of the businessmen, there were two businessmen there, both of them very wealthy. One owned 26 Checkers restaurants in New Jersey and New York area. And the other built the air filtration system for the space shuttles and also was the main air filtration person who cleaned out the Pentagon. Their company did in a 5-year period $1.2 billion in business. Both of these men have a desire to be a blessing to pastors. They both were pretty amazing. But both of them said at one point in the conversation, I know Joe did, they said, you know what? The work of God doesn't lack finances. It lacks people to give those finances. That's so true. The resources are there if we willingly give. So, what can we do now? Well, there's a couple of things. Number one, give. This morning we have an opportunity to specifically give of our treasure. But God wants us to do more than that. He wants us to give our time, our talents, and our treasure. And as the days unfold here, we're going to have opportunity to say, hey, we need some people to just come and sweep up drywall dust or whatever it may be, whatever God has. Boy, you can do some raking outsides and we can get ready to plant some things around the building or shovel some dirt. Whatever. I don't know what all it's going to be. But there will be some people who will be incredibly talented that can actually put a screw and drywall into the board it was supposed to go in, you know, instead of making holes all over the place, which is why they don't want me to have a screwdriver, right? Or whatever it may be. God's saying, give time, talents, and treasure. And number two, we can pray. We can pray. Would you pray that God would abundantly bless that building? That out of that building will come a harvest of souls. If we want to build a building so that we can brag on ourselves because we have another building, we've missed the point. We've missed the point. We want a building that's functional so that we can open other opportunities to be able to reach people with the gospel. You know, if 100 people, we have that here. If 100 people spent 15 seconds a day praying for the building, 15 seconds, that's not a whole lot of time. That would equal 25 minutes a day, or almost 3 hours a week, or 12 to 15 hours a month, depending on the days, or 72 to 90 hours in a 6-month period, or almost 180 hours in a year, praying that God would bless that building. Now the truth is, this morning, we could say, I'm not going to have you raise your hands. How many of you have 15 seconds to pray for that building? If we don't, something's wrong, isn't it? We don't want to just build a building for the glory of man. I told you we were done turning, but I'm sorry, I got one more passage. If you would please turn with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 29. I have this passage highlighted in my Bible. It is a beautiful passage of Scripture. David has just given to the Lord. He has laid out an incredible storehouse of materials. That which he has collected as a nation, that is the king, out of the storehouse of the nation's treasure, if you will. But David personally, and it's really hard to tell how much he gave, but people believe he gave in the millions of dollars out of his own personal treasury to see this temple built. But he picks up in verse 10, as the money is collected for this, he picks up in verse 10 and says this, "Wherefore, David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty." What a beautiful passage of Scripture. "For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom. O Lord, thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might, and in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. For who am I? And what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. For we are strangers before thee and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee an house for thine holy name cometh of thine hand and is all thine own." Whatever it is we have, God has so abundantly given to us. Let's pray together. Father, as we come now to a worshipful time, because that's exactly what giving is, we know that you're going to give us exactly what we need. Lord, this message has primarily just been an encouragement to try to be an encouragement to people. But perhaps you've spoken to some hearts about their opportunity to pray, or maybe they're working, or even they're giving this morning. Would you speak to hearts now as we just have a brief invitation before we take this special offering? May you be exalted and glorified in everything. We love you. In Christ's precious name we pray. Amen.